Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
And so tonight I'm going to go into some of this reality and how it's created for us and the techniques that are used to give us different versions, upgraded versions of Plato's cave. And that's a good place for us to start because Plato gave a description of how people brought up in a cave who were basically fixed in one position, could only see towards the back of the cave, had a whole philosophy of reality based upon the shadows that came from the light behind them and projected onto the walls of the cave. And everything about the reality had to fit the cave, had to fit into the cave and the structure of the cave and everything they knew about the cave. And one day an insider broke out into the big wide world, traveled it, came back and tried to give them reality. And they turned on him. They didn't want to hear it. It upset their whole paradigm. So they want to kill him, you see. And that's what you have today. Truth hurts. Truth is very, very painful. Especially the truth about how we've all been conned our whole lives and our parents before us, down through the last few hundred years at least. Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix, trying to get above all of this and look down on it, look down upon it, because sometimes you have to look at things from different angles altogether. I talked before about Plato's cave, a great story, a great analogy of the world in itself, and how people were brought up in a cave, kind of fixed in a position they could never look towards the light at the opening of the cave, so they're facing the back of the cave. And their whole philosophy, their whole reality, came from the discussions they had about their world. That was their world. They had no idea of a big world outside of it. He was giving us the understanding that they already knew how groups work. And he said himself that there were people outside the cave passing and causing shadows from the sun to the back of the cave. Those who saw the back of the cave would try and interpret even these shadows and have great philosophical debates about it. And then they'd have just come to resolution themselves, because we have to fix something in reality to make it seem worthwhile. Life has to have purpose and reason, so they came to a philosophy. Then one got out the cave and saw the great outdoors, the great wilds out there, and the marvels of the outside world. He came back to tell them, and he sat down, and they wanted to kill him because it broke their whole idea of their reality inside that cave. All reality had to fit in with their beliefs inside that cave. But that's the real world we live in. We live in Plato's cave. Our whole life is really a Plato's cave. And there are those that always design it for you. Each generation has one designed specifically for it, which is a bit more different than the one previous to it. And it's meant to acclimatize those within to the changes they'll experience throughout their lives. When you think of most of the media out there, and I've mentioned the other night too, the media is the middleman, and his job is to give you your reality on behalf of those above him, his bosses. That's what the media is. It's the middle. The media. And it works very well. Most people never ever stop to think, even at school, that a lot of the indoctrination they're getting, by the way, indoctrination is another legitimate word for education. Education doesn't mean that you're being taught truth or anything else. It means you're given an indoctrination, a preparatory indoctrination for the changes that are already scheduled to happen throughout your lifetime. Because those who rule the world plan the future. They always plan the future. There are hundreds of think tanks out there linked together whose whole job it is to plan the future. And you have the big futurist societies at the top that also employ novelists, amongst others, script writers for a screen, to write stories, sci-fi type stories about the coming societies, etc. And we grew up and it emerges. We think it's all familiar to us because we've heard it somewhere before, so it seems quite natural. That's how you create the future. You plan it. And those at the top have never lost control. Plato's cave upgraded for every generation. Hi, folks. This is Alan Watt. We're cutting through the Matrix. The Matrix is a good term, really, a good name for the show, because it's the reality that we've been given. All reality, it comes through a channel, you might say, censored and worked out by the big boys to make sure we all get the same indoctrination worldwide. That's what the Global Village is all about, to make sure we're all in Plato's cave. And again, even the Plato's cave analogy is very, very good to do with the Matrix, because Plato gives you an example of people who were brought up in a cave, and that's all they knew was the cave. They couldn't turn around to see the entrance to the cave. So their backs always faced the entrance, and they saw the shadows of the sun as the sun passed the cave entrance every so often. And any animals outside, even people walking past, just cast shadows at the back of the cave. That's all they could see. So the reality was made up of philosophies and a kind of religion to do what caused all of these shadows and the movements that seemed to be in the backs of the cave. So their whole reality, the reason for life, for existence, etc., was all founded on the fact that they were born and raised in a cave. That's all they knew. Then one guy eventually broke free, got out into the big world and came back and says, you know, we're wrong about everything. 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 All the summaries about the causes of these shadows and so on and the shapes that we see in the back of the cave are all completely bogus. They're all wrong. And once he explained to them how the big world was, they wanted to kill him for shattering their reality. Well, that's what the Matrix is too.
Maybe you're lucky or unlucky, it depends on how you see it, because ignorance, you say, is bliss. And having knowledge about what's happening doesn't make you terribly happy at times, because you see an incredible evil, and that's the only word I can use, is evil, of powerful institutions and sometimes countries and things that they do. And again, the incredible gain that those at the top of these different institutions and countries gain for themselves financially and for positions of power as they get boosted up a ladder, because there definitely is a big global agenda here. We are so brainwashed. We're brought up to be brainwashed into Plato's cave. And I used to give talks about Plato's cave, and then it became awfully popular and everybody started to use it. But the idea is, if you're born in the cave and you can never look backwards to the mouth of the cave, and so all you see is a shadow is cast by the firelight on the walls and so on. And the elders will sit and discuss what all these shadows mean, because they haven't got a clue what's outside, or even if there is an outside. To one person gets out and travels a bit of the world and comes back and tells them. And they want to kill him because he's disrupting their belief system of reality. All the reality is now in jeopardy, and he's threatened to be killed and murdered. Well, that is the real world you're in. Yet we're all in Plato's cave. We're brought up to be in Plato's cave. When you go through, and should take some time and do it, so much of the declassified information on psychological warfare from government agencies, you'd be astonished just at that alone, never mind the much, much bigger and deeper and secretive agendas to do with brainwashing you, average citizenry. Because we're targets. Populations are targets of a global agenda, quite naturally. And those at the top want to fill their pockets awfully well as they bring the world into terrible conflicts in order to get the resolutions further along the road to the global governmental system. As I say, the world does not belong to the people and never ever has. The people are made to be the way they've been conditioned to be. And, you know, if you had 100 mad people all taught the same reality like Plato's cave, and you have to read about Plato's cave to understand how it's quite easy, and then you back in ancient Greece, you can raise people to think that and believe the reality you give them. And they will think that, and they'll all have the same conversations about the same reality. And that's how you judge your own sanity. You bounce off your ideas to those next to you, and they'll reply in kind and say, yeah, you're right, and so on, because we've all had the same conditioning. But you could be absolutely stark raving mad, and as long as they're all mad as well. Quite easy, isn't it?
The Matrix is the big system, the reality, the Plato's cave in which you've been born, and everyone in that cave, that's your neighbours, your friends and so on, who've had the same perfect indoctrination, will never figure out the big picture. Everything has to relate to what you've been taught to see and believe in that cave. And that's what Plato went on about, an old, old technique, because realities are given to the populace to suit those who rule. And the realities of those who rule, compared to what they give you to believe in, are worlds, in fact, universes apart. Universes. And, of course, there's multi-layers in between to manage people at the bottom. Then you have the media in the middle. They pass on the propaganda to the public, tell you what to talk about. And it even tells you, you know, what they think about you, because everything to them at the top is a joke. Everything's a joke. You have to look into what a Yahoo means, for instance. Look at what Yahoo means and Gulliver's Travels. Because technically they're telling us we're Yahoos. And then Google is something a baby splutters out. Goo. Google, you see. And that's what they give you. And then they give you something to Twitter with, where your birds Twitter. It's chatter and Twitter. It means nothing. It's just noise, you see. Keeps you busy, keeps you obsessed into different kinds of chats, plus you're giving all your info out all the time on your state of mind, and that's all being observed. That's what the internet is for. A net is something you catch fish in. It's also called the web. You get stuck on a web, and there's always a spider watching. Put you in a cocoon, you can't move. It's hypnotizing, you're stuck on the web. That's quite the world we truly live in.
Just mentioning, if the media had ever done its job properly, we would never be in the mess we're in. We couldn't be fooled if we're being given truth all the time. And remember, I read an article last year where some case was brought against, I think it was one of the big TV networks, by some of the staff who were forbidden to show a program that they'd done, a documentary, even though they were under contract to do as they wished. And it turned out in the courts in the US that the judge said the media is under no obligation to tell the public the truth. And that seldom dawns on the average person who parrots off the media at face value. And it's always been this way. It's always been this way. When the big bankers started off using London as a test ground, they'd already used countries before it. Holland was one. And then they built up London to take over. And then New York after that, although London's still one of the biggest players, probably still the big player. They also took over and created the big media chains. Because information is vital. Knowledge is power. And if you want to hold on to power and not share it, then you just give the public nonsense or trivia to follow around. And that's what we're dished out daily. Until, and this is the interesting thing which they found at the top as well, the more trivia they give the public, the more the public seem to like it. Especially if it's sort of trivia about the stars. They gave us the stars as well from Hollywood and the bimbos and who's having affairs and who's divorced and all the rest of it. As though it was vital to know, vital to our existence to know this stuff. Kind of like sports, you know. Same kind of nonsense. And the people seem to want more and more and more of it because, you see, you don't have to get involved in making any decisions with this kind of trivia. It titillates the senses, but you don't have to make any adjustments in your life or actually do something. So they kind of like that. And most folk in today's society are part of the new collective. Individualism was a short-lived thing. People were starting to get a bit of it after the death of feudalism, if you want to call it that or want to even believe in that. That's when individualism came to the surface for the first time as folk got some freedoms. And they found out it's much easier to go back and use collectivism, where we all parrot the same stuff and think the same stuff. We're all educated with the same stuff.
And so we're all in the same Plato's cave. We're all familiar with the exact same cave. Anything outside that cave has got to be ludicrous, you see. And you'll laugh at it because it can't exist, can it? Yet, as I say, the media's job is as an arm of governments. It's an arm of the big banker boys who control everything. The same families that have lent to countries for centuries still run the world today. And they're doing it even more so as they bring on the big crash to lead up to the IMF, which is their bank, by the way, taking over. That's just a meeting place for the same moneylenders to meet the International Monetary Fund at the United Nations. Everybody works for them. Everybody, every prime minister and president works for them across the planet. That's the reality of life. Your educational system is given by them to mandate you get the proper indoctrination so you'll never figure it out. Your entertainment industry programs you for what's to come through fiction, and at the same time, it keeps you bedazzled as well so you don't figure it out. You think everything that happens in life is and comes up and is passed by a law must be quite normal, right down to getting a chip stuck in your head. That'd be quite normal too. But it's much better to get the public to actually want it. And that's not hard to do either. We are living through an incredible system. And we are, as I've talked many times before about it, we're living in a Plato's cave. And the whole dialectic of what's happening today, with even people who think they're battling against what's happening, are battling about the cave itself. They don't know there's another world outside the cave. The idea is to get you battling about the same topics. And in reality, there's no battle at all, because out of these clashes comes compromise. Compromise leads to the inevitability of staying in the cave. It's so familiar to us. We can't think outside of it, because we're all born into it. We're born into it using a money system, which is unnatural to begin with, when you think about it. The so-called primitive tribes that they hate at the top, they hate because they're self-sufficient. They need nothing from anyone. They don't need corporations. They don't need steel axes, which break and have to buy new ones. They don't have to work to pay taxes. They're completely independent. If the world fell apart tomorrow with the greatest depression ever, financial depression, these people would carry on as usual. It's another day to them. But we, you see, are artificial. We're in an artificial system. Plato himself talked about this. And he says they're the easiest ones to bring down because they can't survive without it.
The Matrix, remember, is a big system into which you're born. You take for granted it must be natural because it exists. And your parents thought so too, so they couldn't warn you that a lot of shady cons run the world. And it's always shady cons. I don't think there's a government on the planet ever being honest with its own people about anything at all, to be honest with you. And if you read the writings of Machiavelli, very, very interesting, his writings. He basically wrote a classical book, really, on how to deceive the populations and manipulate them. It's very old, and it shows you how long this understanding of human nature has been around. You find, if you put his particular book along with that of Francis Bacon, who also wrote a whole bunch of sayings to the king, the sayings really were a resume, you might say. See, with Machiavelli, they put their resumes out to kings to show you how clever they were, and they tried to get jobs as advisors. And nothing's changed today. The world's still run by advisors, and the little front men, of course, that become presidents and prime ministers, are put there by the big foundation boys that run the world, and they own the big international corporations as well. But most importantly, they own the minds of us. And they made sure of that by getting us into their schools and into a standardized education system where you can liken it to Plato's cave. We're all put in the same cave, taught the same nonsense, and we are obedient little slaves. And then when you get out of school, they give you a little scroll, and with that little scroll you can get work. The idea being that you pass your quality approval board to be dumbed down enough to get into their system and work for them. That's what it really means. Because there are far, far higher levels of education for certain few people that you'll never even hear of. and many of them bypass universities altogether and go off and much higher learning. The lower stuff for the people, but the universities do have a function, and mainly in the scientific areas, because they're given grants to do research, as I say, and repetitive stuff. That's what they call it, research. The real searching has been done long ago. They just want to make sure they got it right the first time, all their data. But they get grants to really go into feel the public pulse, how the public is thinking about certain topics, how to overcome that, get around it, and so on. Then that's passed on to think tanks to find ways to do so, like the RAND Corporation. So that's how the world is really run. It's not complex at all. It's run on money. And those boys at the top who literally run the world, own the world, and run all the money systems have no problem buying off basically thousands of universities across the planet and thousands of think tanks. They create themselves, and then they create thousands of non-governmental organizations to pretend that they demand on behalf of the peoples to get laws passed, which the foundations want. That's the parallel governmental system. Another one to look at is Fahrenheit 451. It's an older movie as well. And old is not bad. We've all been trained that new is good, new is good. Change is good, new is good. But so much of reality is shown in older movies. In Fahrenheit 451, it's a type of future where the firemen don't stop fires. They don't have to because all houses are by law fireproofed. They don't burn. The firemen go out and they burn people who have stored up and hidden books because it's forbidden to read books. Books cause dissension between people. So that's really a terrorist act to read books. Well worth seeing too. Lots of little statements, little quips in there which penetrate. A fairly recent movie is called The Others. The Others, I recommend to show how Plato's cave works. Now, Plato talks about how a reality is given to people, and he used the analogy of a cave where those born into this cave and brought up in the cave, never outside the cave, and always looking towards the back of the cave, how they would view the world. What that was their world. That was all of their world. And sure enough, they'd have a whole philosophy, a type of religion, a reality based around what they observed. And as the sun passed the mouth of the cave and people even outside would walk past it, shadows would form on the back of the cave, and they'd have reasons for this. They would discuss the reasons, and it would all seem perfectly rational to them. But they never could turn around and look to the mouth of the cave. They were looking always towards the back. So anything out of the ordinary that happened, they'd have to fit it into their paradigm, their existing understanding of their reality. And they'd squash it in if need be, and stamp on it to get it in. A good example of how to create realities for people. He used the cave. In the movie The Others, similar to the movie Sixth Sense, they both have a bit of this in it, but in The Others, you'll find the main character, the woman, has to relate all the things that are happening around her into her existing paradigm, and how she goes to extraordinary lengths, no matter what she's experiencing, to make it fit in to what she sees as her logical pattern, her understanding, until she has to face a truth. And this is how the system actually does work with people who are born into a system, and like all mammals, look towards the parents for warnings of what they should be aware of. Now, if the parents have already been indoctrinated, and remember, all you have to do is indoctrinate the first generation, you have a new normality, a new normal. if they don't know to tell the children will never question the things around them. They'll think everything is quite natural. They've just evolved to where we are today, and everything that they use and are told to use, including money and so on, is all quite natural. And they're told what to talk about, what not to talk about, what's correct, what's not correct. Now, how can you be free if you cannot discuss anything or even ask a question out of curiosity? That's not freedom. That's legal tyranny.
And the Matrix, as I say, is a system into which you're born, and it's kind of like a lot of Plato's caves all joined together. Some people never get out of the first cave and find there's one next to it. And you take your reality generally as you find it. You're born into it. Your parents don't know to warn you about anything. In fact, they really don't today warn you about anything. They do expect the system itself, the schooling system, to give you everything, including the new morality, and expect the media and everything that's churned out for children to take over from what parents used to do, is sit and talk to their children. That's a kind of thing of the past now. And everything's changed so fast and rapidly since the 1960s onwards into this brave new world that many people at the top of the financial tree and the scientific tree working together had formed a new world order that would come into view, as George Bush Sr. said. Much of it had already been accomplished by the time he actually said it. And that's why they were so confident, because they knew the kind of society they wanted to bring in. They'd been working on it for over 100 years.
But yeah, the young don't know, and they're being taught moral relativity in school, mandated from those who control the world. They make sure they always grab the minds of the very, very young. They're like blank slates, and they can put in the initial indoctrination. It's like giving you your own Plato's cave. You're born into that cave in that particular generation, and everything you're taught or you experience outside of that cave as you grow up, you run back into the cave with it to find where it fits. It must fit with that which has already been indoctrinated into you. Even if they mush it up and squash it to make it fit. And that's how simple it is. Very old, old technique known thousands of years ago by various priesthoods. Grab the minds of the young and you can create any kind of being you want them to be.
It truly is a rigged game, even your formats of education. Some of the worst people to get through are those who've gone through the latest university courses, because it never dawns on them they're being lied to. What they're being told is all exciting to them, because it's made to sound exciting. It doesn't occur to them that a lot of what they're being told is either lies or slanted in a way to shape their minds to come to preordained conclusions. This is all science, of course. It's like Plato's cave. If you have them all stuck in one place and tell them they're superior and they're now illumined, which is what alumni are, then they'll believe it. And arrogance is the greatest thing to blind a person from any further research for themselves.
But isn't it amazing that very few people know anything about money or its history or new world orders, old world orders, etc.? And yet we all have to work and use this money. Money hires armies, it hires police, it hires all the characters who keep you in your place, in other words. And what this gets into is a new world order. What was the old world order? The old world order was really a system where priests and religions controlled millions of peoples in different countries. They gave you your whole entire reality. Everything that you would base your opinions on, your thoughts on, was really founded on the particular religion you were given. Plato did an excellent analogy with the cave. We're talking about people who born and brought up in a cave, and they couldn't turn around to see the light at the entrance of the cave. And they made up a whole philosophy of what life was, and what all these shadows were.
from people outside the cave passing or the sun passing it, because he couldn't turn around and see the sun passing the mouth of the cave. So they made up all these theories as to what it really meant. It was all fake, of course. It never dawned on them either that it was anything outside their cave. But everything had to relate somehow to the cave. And that's what how religion works for many, many, many centuries. Today has been taken over by academia, but not any old academia. It's academia that all works together, again, and everything becomes standardized eventually. And all the sciences, as they call them, start to interact with each other. And they hammer out common doctrines, just like theology, basically. And they all believe, all the sciences truly believe in the idea of Darwin. And Darwin was put out there by the Royal Society to literally bring in this kind of thinking and order. And part of it too, obviously, right away, right off the bat, what it did was to devalue a lot of human life. Many of his proponents ended up in high positions for governments across the world, even the United Nations eventually when it was created. You find Julian Huxley talking about the need to dethrone humanity from its pedestal of thinking that it was the most supreme thing on the planet, creature on the planet. Dethrone it, dehumanize it, and too, because they had to bring in a mass depopulation and get us used to it. Man's just another animal. Get used to us being butchered, you might say. And we have become completely used to seeing things on television and little clips or shows from newsreels to do with mass bombings and slaughters and oops when they bomb wedding parties in Iraq and stuff like that. And we think nothing of it. We become completely desensitized to our empathy that we should have towards other people. Because believe you me, what happens to others definitely can happen to you. And that's a message that the passive viewers never ever realize, never come to. As I say, your religions gave you your complete reality. Today, it's the same thing. The scientifically created reality. We've all been born into it. We've all had a standardized education, so you can go to anywhere across the world where they've had a UNESCO-type education, and you can all relate to each other, and your ideas will all be much the same because you've had a standardized way of looking at everything. An education brings you to conclusions. You bring your what you think are your reasoning to the fore to figure out problems. It never dawns on you, you work like a computer, and those that program you can bring you to your conclusions. That's what people think sanity is today. Down through the ages, you'll find the most profound truths given out, which are meant to free the occasional individual, will be used to enslave the masses, because the bulk of the populace in all ages prefer ritual and dogma. It takes time and self-examination, obviously, to understand that truths are double-edged, that either free you or slave you. Enslavement is the typical way that people go. It's easier for them to behave as a mass than to try and accept or follow the freedom that comes with understanding. A truth does not have to be confirmed by those round about you if it's a truth you're seeking for yourself. The bulk of the populace have always bounced off their opinions, which are not really theirs, to other people and back to themselves. Then when they all agree about the same things, they accept or think they are normal. And they are within groupthink. It's the unusual person who can go beyond and be content within themselves with the outcomes of the thoughts. It doesn't have to be verified by other people. Whether it's Plato's cave you've been born into, which every generation has, just a different texture on the walls, that's all, for the time period. Different sets of rules, different explanations. It's the same cave, and those within the cave will accept quite happily the reasons for everything being the way they are.
Yeah, a good analogy is Plato's cave, and he wrote a very good allegorical story about how you're brought up in a cave, and that's all you know, and the whole philosophy of reality and life builds up in that cave. You discuss it with each other. You don't see the outside world. One gets out and travels the world, comes back and tries to tell them there's a big world out there. Well, they refuse to comprehend it because it's outside their reality. Well, that's how most folk are. They're segmented into different factions of indoctrination. These are all compartmentalized. And you have to be able to bridge those gaps very quickly through commonalities. What affects them? Do they love their children? Do they love? Once you get into established bonding and so on and commonalities, then you can cross over. And then you can start the education very carefully and tell them, do you want your children to get brought up in a total surveillance society where they want you to be completely predictable from birth to death every day of your life? Or do you want the right to have freedom? You see? And you must, what you're giving them back is their ability to say, yeah, there is something sacred in me. I have these rights. Some guy at the top cannot say he's better than me. No public servant can start throwing me into jail because of a new policy that no one's agreed upon. If the people don't agree upon it, it's no law at all, you see? And you've got to throw it out. And that's what we've got to do, because we're the only generation with a memory of this.
There's bits of truth in everything, bits of truth in everything. Cause and effect, you might say. To bring people up to a higher truth out of their conditioning, whether it's religious or what they presume is cultural even, because your culture still is the same. It shapes a world view, how you will then see new information and then always go back to Plato's cave to compare it to. And then if you can find it in the cave or something similar, you'll think it's normal. That's what it really does to the individual person. And we need something to believe in, something which we think is normal. Otherwise, you'd be flying all over space with no grounding at all, nothing to grab a hold of. So aspects of life and religions can also be tools or staging rockets to go higher into other understandings if you have fully used them to their limit. They can help a person beyond.
From myself, Alan Ward, it's good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.